where the very latest news is the news headline, starring Roy Hudd with Janet Brand, Chris Linnett, and the Nick Rowley Quartet.
Thank you very much, folks, and welcome to the show. Starting with a quote of the week from Jim Callaghan. He says that no prime minister should be under 65. You read that? Well, that's right. I mean, Harold Wilson was under 65, and he was no prime minister. Oh, Jim Callaghan, I mean, you've only got to look at the waistband to see he's an OAP, haven't you, eh? Out of all proportion. Well, the big story of the week is the Russian satellite, which has crashed in Canada, isn't it, eh? And it raises the big questions. What are the chances of fallout, as the high-speed lift operator said to Rackle Welsh? Well, well, they're two in a million, as Rackle Welsh replied. We've got troubles of our own here, haven't we, eh? For a start, there's the health service. One hospital say they've been closing wards for lack of trained hospital staff, and it's easy to see, isn't it? Outside, they've got notices saying, beware, guard dogs operating. They'll try anything. And we've had some interesting public announcements, eh? There's the post office saying it's going to bring back Sunday collections, so have your money ready. Did you see the story about the textile mill computer, which is used in the evenings for a computer dating service? Yes. One bloke tried it and fixed himself up with a 22-year-old flannelette blanket. With an interest in music and theatre. And here's a weird story. There's apparently going to be a ban on catching female lobsters until they're sexually mature. Read that. Well, I mean, honestly, how are you going to know when a lobster is sexually mature? I mean, they look much the same as the other, except for the nasty love bites, I suppose. Now, let's see who the people of the week have been. For instance, there's Johnny Rotten. He's left the Sex Pistols. Mm-hmm. Somebody pulled out the fin and he just went off. And Lou Grade's in the news because he wants to buy Madame Tussauds Waxworks. Yeah. It's a lot of trouble to go to just to find a new cast for Crossroads, isn't it, really? Hustisa Robert Mark has been given a job on a health farm. Mm. He's going to stand in front of the fridge and divert the heavy traffic. We've had a couple of good weddings this week, eh? George Best has at last got himself fixed up. Yes. He and Angela had a great honeymoon night, a night of connubial bliss, apart from the military band which marched all over the bed at half-time. From marriage to a reconciliation, we have the news that Edward Heath and Margaret Thatcher have at last decided to make it all up. Ah. Well, you can't blame them, can you? They never got very far with the truth, did they? And so, hand in hand, Maggie and Ted, they saunter off into the sunset.
Mr. Heath.
Yes?
Dear Edward Heath.
Yes, what is it?
Is there nothing we can do about your teeth?
My teeth?
If we sawed them all in half, would it stop that silly laugh and those shoulders that go heaving underneath?
Oh, Mrs. Thatcher.
Yes?
Dear Maggie Thatcher.
I'm listening.
It's your image that's all wrong. It isn't me.
Is that so?
Half the country would rejoice,
really,
if you changed that dreary voice.
You mean something more like this, Ted?
That's the ticket, Mrs. T.
Time for the Hudlines Open Wine. Can we have our first caller, please?
Ah, shalom.
Ah, Mr. Fagan, isn't it?
Yes, yes, my love. I'm just calling to confirm that both Mr. Sadat and myself desire a solid peace in the Middle East.
So what's the problem?
We both want the same peace. Next caller, please.
Hello? Sonny Jim Blustering here. I understand Doctor Who is looking for a new female assistant. I'd like to suggest Maggie Thatcher.
Why, because she'd be in keeping with the role on the series?
No, because she'd be in a phone box on the other side of the universe. Oh!
Next caller, please.
Hello, dear.
Ah, hello.
Hello. I'm the wife of the Irish police chief who was sacked because he got all his fingerprints mixed up. He's got them all sorted out now.
Really?
Sure, they were stuck on the end of his fingers all the time.
Next caller, please.
Now, look, I think educational standards in this country are appalling. I mean, how would you receive a report like this? Smokes in the toilet, swears in the classroom, art mistress in a state of shock after seeing his drawings, reading age of 7.
Well, I don't know. How old is he?
Dad, how old are you?
Next call, please.
Leonid Brezhnev calling. I have already written to your Mr. Carter to warn him that we in the Soviet Union have succeeded in producing a devastating weapon. It combines the neutron bomb with a biological ability to clean up the USA.
And what have you come up with?
The ultimate detergent. Oh, eat your hat off, Nikita Khrushchev.
Next caller.
Sir, Harold Wilson here. I strongly wish to deny that there is even the remotest connection between me and the alleged electoral malpractices in Pakistan.
But no one said there is, though.
In my life entirely for strict safety precaution.
Large bumpers.
Mind you, in business, huh?
Next caller, please.
Hello?
Oh, it's you.
It's me again. Yes, hello.
Hello.
You know all that fog we had last week that suddenly disappeared?
Yes.
It was me that did it, you know, with my new invention called Og.
Og? What's that exactly?
Well, I don't know, but it gets rid of the effing fog.
Next caller, please.
Hello. Dr. David Owen here, the Foreign Secretary, just calling to calm down the public about that Russian nuclear Sputnik that's fallen on Canada. I'm not alarmed, you know.
Oh, really? If the same thing happened here, Dr. Owen, what steps would the government take?
Bloody long ones, mate.
Can we have the last caller, please?
Good evening. In the wake of certain recent reconciliations, I would like to inform everyone that the Conservative Party are ready to fight any election because at last we have learned to speak with one voice.
Well, that's very interesting, Mrs. Thatcher.
I'm not Mrs. Thatcher. I believe...
Of course, this week has seen the government defeated over the devaluation of the green pound. I've never seen one any other colour, really, have you? But there we are. Apparently, the green pound being so low means that Irish and EEC farmers make large profits at the British public's expense, which has got old farmer Jim Callaghan worried. We sent Fife Goatspear down to investigate.
Hello. Well, here I am in the heart of darkest Sussex, surrounded by waving strands of brown and gold, a veritable sea of long stems and shoots. I really must.
Come on there now. Come to Uncle Amos. Come on, my beauty.
I'm on my way, Petal.
Not you, the bull.
This bull is wearing a rosette. Does that mean he's a champion?
No, it means he supports Arsenal. Now, what can I be doing for you?
I was hoping I could interview some of your farm laborers about the plight of farming in this country.
Well, why not start with old Silas over there?
Oh, yes.
Or Army Order.
Tell me, Silas. Silas, do you think the green pound should have been devalued even more?
I ain't going Dan and Doris and all.
What does he say?
He says you're standing on his foot.
Oh, I'm sorry. All I want to know are his views on the devaluation of the green pound.
Ah, well, old Silas didn't even notice, you know.
Oh, no.
No, he didn't. He's a bit short-sighted.
Is he really?
Very short-sighted. In fact, last night he went out and artificially inseminated a tractor. Mind you, farming has its good moments, you know. Yes, it's not all like that Ennemadale farm, you know. For instance... For instance, we've had a fine vegetable crop this year, you know.
So I can see from that farm girl with the two enormous juicy pumpkins.
You mind, that's my daughter, sir, there. Daughter, meet this here BBC person.
Hello there, handsome. Fancy some frolics at that time?
No, thanks. I prefer Ovaltine.
Now, where was I? Oh, yes, well, we've had a very fine harvest, but it's our cattle that have been giving us trouble. I tell you, they haven't been breeding at all.
I see. I suppose that means you can't make ends meet.
You could put it like that, yes. I suppose you could. But we do think we've got the answer to our breeding problem. You know, we're going to mate a male bull with a female rabbit.
What will the rabbit have?
Kittens, I shouldn't wonder a minute.
I'm just off to snatch some lunch.
Ah, going for a quick grab at the ploughman's, is he?
I wouldn't be at all surprised, sir.
Oh, no, Silas.
Oh, what's the matter with Silas?
Oh, dear, he must be upset his tied cottage has just collapsed.
How? Then,
oh, is your Silas?
That's disgusting. How much does Silas earn?
Well, put it this way, my dear. Silas is so poor, to supplement his income, he moonlights as a tramp.
I don't believe it. Can't you do something about this farm? It seems to be in a terrible state of neglect.
No, I can't, you see, sir. I'm only the manager here.
Oh, are you?
And the landlord's practically never here at all. Our only hope is for the Tories to win the next election.
Why? Because they're more sympathetic agricultural policy?
No, because then maybe Mr. Callan will get down here and do some bloody work, my dear. And now, on the house, we go straight over to the bar of the Commons for the latest from the country's ancient worthies.
Hello, my dear.
Hello.
I'm president of the Eldertonian Group of MPs. Now, we Eldertonians have become very concerned about the erosion of British morals by a handful of bungling industrialists, corrupt arms dealers, and sexual deviants. And we're going to do something to stop it.
What?
Shoot ourselves.
Hello, Steele.
Hello, Wedgie.
I see you finally got Cyril Smith to agree with the pact. How did you get round him?
Easy, I took a number 14 bus.
Well, that's agreed then, Ted. You can be minister for nothing.
Yes, he was. Are they Merlin, old fellow?
Yes, Jim.
Were you feeling all right yesterday?
Yes, why?
Well, you voted to devalue the black pound, then you made a speech about green immigrants.
Cuts in traffic, Warden.
Really? How?
Well, I just saw him chasing 24 of off Oxford Street with a machete.
Well, Callahan, we liberals certainly gave you a lot of fright, didn't we? Eh? Eh?
You wanted to devalue the green pound by a mere 5%, but oh no. We liberals weren't having that. We took you on, didn't we? We took you on. We pressed you for a devaluation of 10%. 10%? So I've got only one thing to say to you.
What's that?
I'm sorry, Jim.
I see the Russians are relaxing their rules. It says here that visitors can now go almost anywhere in Russia.
That's a relief. The last time I was dying to go in Moscow, and I had to wait till I got to Omsk.
Do I say, Mr. Barley, these figures you've given me show that despite government subsidies, Chrysler have made a gigantic loss.
Yes, Chancellor, but you know as well as I do that figures can be presented in such a way as to give a totally misleading impression.
Quite right. I'll see to it right away.
A report out this week once again exposes the foreigners here on temporary passports who are becoming legal British residents by paying money to marry them.
Good morning, Bart.
Morning,
it's quiet. Can I be of assistance to you?
How so? My passport's almost expired, and the Home Office have given me a week to get out of the country. I need a bride, and I fancy you can oblige.
But I don't fancy you, and my name's not going to oblige, is it? So you want a bride, do you? How long did you say it was?
Well, if you must know, they've given me a week to leave.
And how much did you want to spend it?
Depends on what you got, boy.
Well, let's have a look through here now. We've got the chorus girls at 1,000 quid, models at £500.
Haven't you got anything for round about a tenner?
No, I sold the wife this morning, I'm sorry. You can have her mother if you want.
How much?
I'll give you 25 quid and you can have the cage for nothing.
I'm picking a poke, don't
you? Oh, you've met her before, have you? I see.
No good. It looks like back to the old bush country for me. Playing didgeridoos in a windy billabong. Gargling lager out of a tucker bag. Roasting wallaby steaks round a rotating eucalyptus lock.
Oh, I know what you mean. I had dinner at Rolf Harris's myself once, you know. Don't rush away now, Squire. Look, I don't like anyone to leave the shop empty-handed, so I'm going to do you a favour, ain't I?
Ah, good.
And all I'm asking is 35 quid. She's waiting in the back room.
Lead on.
No, only when I take her for walks. Come and come and meet someone, will you?
All right. It's a little dim in this back room. Which one is Dolores?
The one on the left. The other's a big guy. Dolores, come over here and meet our client. He's from the land of the koala bear.
Funny, he don't look like a Geordie.
I'm an Australian.
Look, are you interested?
I'm not sure. I'd like a closer look at it.
Don't go raving mad. Don't get yourself upset. Come on now. Take this tablecloth and blow your nose. Go on now. Shall I arrange the ceremony then, sir?
Ah, very well. Here's the money. Now, when do we get married?
Right now, sir. Here, in this back room.
I'm not getting married in any back room. I want a church wedding.
You can't do that, sir. Look, we don't want the Home Office to find you now. Immigrant.
Now, over to Chelsea, to the storm-proofed snuggery of the Tory leader, where, as we admire her Wedgwood tea set round the walls and drink tea from her whistlers and wattos, we hear from the greatest lady ever to make yogurt.
Good evening. As you know, I'm a woman with robust inclinations. And I welcome this chance to air them. Ah, that's better. Now, as you also know, I have always been able to handle any situation with poise and calm. Like the embarrassing moment when I was walking down the Petticoat Lane the other day, and several stallholders leapt out and ignored me. But there was one man who actually came forward and kissed me. And to put it in Cockney slang, it was so nice to be standing in the middle of the frog and being kissed full on the melon. He was a stallholder, of course, and while he held me, I stalled. This week has been notable for my victory in the Commons on the agricultural issue. I identify myself very much with the farmer, since in my young days I used to do odd jobs on a farm. I used to collect the eggs from the farm. Back from the Middle East, and we had a very good debriefing session. I think from the look in his eyes, he has forgiven me for ousting him, though it is hard to tell when you're in a stranglehold over the Ottoman. However, he had a very good trip, apart from one incident in Jerusalem, when he was asked to read from the holy book, only he signed it by mistake. Well, let me just say, I told him straight and suggested politely that we should bury the hatchet. But he said he couldn't find it in his heart, which was true, because as he left, I noticed it was still in his back. Thank you so much, and good night.
Now, if you like your politics dirty and have been watching that TV program Washington Behind Closed Doors, which closed this week, you'll have had no trouble identifying the main characters. Nixon, Johnson, Kennedy, yes, they're all in it, right in it. Politics isn't like that in this country. We present Westminster Behind Closed Doors, starring Kermit the Frog as Premier Harold Walton, and a mahogany hat stand as Lady Nausea Fourcandle. The scene is the nerve center of power, the pear-shaped office in No. 10 Downing Street, where the beleaguered Premier is putting a brave face on his showing in the popularity polls.
Right, that's it. Nausea, send in the director of the Department of Dirty Tricks, will
you? No, very good, Harold.
Morning, Prime Minister. Director of DDT at your service. Break-in and blackmail merchants by appointment. Contract killings to order. Four hitmen, no waiting. Poison fungus in wetsuits, a speciality. You name it, we do it. You do it, and we can think of a name for it. Our motto is we trust no one.
My word.
That's another thing we don't trust.
Well, I'm glad you came, but do we need the disguise?
Oh, you mean the Al Jolson outfit? Not really, no.
All right, I'll take it off then. I thought it might just turn the tide in the Rhodesia talk.
Okay, Prime Minister, just leave your animus to me. Now, what do you want me to do to them?
I want them Well, put it this way. I want them posse drive. Are you with me?
No, I'm with the Woolwich.
The thing is, Mr. Director...
Don't like Stan Stennett, all is forgiven, yes.
The thing is, Mr. Director, I want to make an offensive.
Well, feel free, it's your office.
I want to start with the top Tories. I want to know everything. Where they go, who they meet, how they sleep, what they eat with, and stop at nothing. Investigate everything. Diaries, private bank accounts, telephone calls, beach balls, private records.
Beach balls?
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I say beach balls? Nausea, don't lean over my desk like that.
Oh, I knew this would come up, sir. We've already been investigating top Tories of previous government.
Yes, sir. I've got here some tapes of recordings made in this office by previous Tory administration.
Oh, good, good. I like it. I like it. Play them.
I will. Now, first, Harold Macmillan.
It's so good. And we have created something of a legend.
Legend. Oh, come on, Prime Minister. Come on, you'll have to do better than this with your broadcast.
Before us, I see a long journey.
Journey.
Long journey. And every possible idea will be tried out.
Tried out.
I give my solemn pledge that union recommendations will get knotted.
Will get noted.
Although I know they can't wait to see my administration when it falls. And my government topples.
My government topples. Look.
Topples.
Oh. Right, look, from the top again. Here's Sir Alec Douglas Hugh.
Raise himself from 15 summons. Jolly good shooting, Thornycroft. I say, if what I'm going to say now ever gets heard in years to come, it will cause the most frightful shock.
What is it?
Boo!
Edward Heath.
Shipmate. Now look here, Feather. Look here, Feather. It's time we realized who's running this country. So let's get that established here and now. All right? Eeny, meeny, miny, moe.
Oh, good work. Now, any incriminating photographs?
No, no. In fact, we lost our best agent in that field. He died of starvation waiting for an action shot of Reggie Maudling.
What about Thatcher? Anything on her? Doesn't she have any permissive views?
Permissive views? Well, no, sir. Not unless you count allowing proper nouns in Scrabble, no.
Oh, good. Good, good. I like it. Now, listen, kiddo. Listen. I know there's more to being director of dirty tricks than playing hoopla with Michael Foot's shirt collars. But you can do one thing as a personal favor to me.
Sir, sir.
Will you do a break-in for me?
A break-in?
Well, I know where there's enough evidence of dirt, double-dealing, intrigue, scandal, and subterfuge to sway the result of the next election.
Right. I'll break in tonight.
Good boy. Here's the keys in that row of filing cabinets over there.
We've got dossiers on every public figure.
We ruin reputations on request.
We specialize in washing dirty linen.
You give us names and we make up the rest. We know of all backhanders, bribes and payoffs.
Whereby politicians live beyond their means.
How their stationery allowance runs to call girls.
And private use of nuclear submarines. We'll start a leak that Thatcher does black magic and hangs effigies of Steele and Callahan, and that Dennis Healy really is a werewolf, and on full moons he turns into a man.
We could see to it that Enoch Powell was ruined if we leaked what's in our file in black and white, that he actually likes curry and calypsos and goes limbo dancing every Wednesday night.
We know that Wedgwood Ben can't stand the workers. That George Brown has an allergy to drink.
That Clement Freud is terrified of bloodhounds. And that Edward Heath gets seasick in the sink. Every name which comes up for election.
And the public head towards the polling booth.
We'll blacken them with filthy lies and slander.
And failing that, we'll do it with the truth. Oh, yes. Yes!
Failing that, we'll do it with the truth.
That was the news headline, starring Roy Hutt with Janet Brand, Chris Emmett, and the Nick Rowley Quartet. The script was written by Peter Spence, Andy Hamilton, and Laurie Rowley. Additional lines by Adrian Maxson, John Walker, Ray Price, Red McDonald, Ian Tyler, John Viet, Philip Munnock, Astor Speyer, Freddie Sadler, Vicky Smith, and Peter Hickey.
All of whom have been placed in the BBC sin bin by our producer,
John Lloyd.